everything you do for us each and every day, and we ask that you be with family that have grieved, and all of us as we grieve the loss of Sister Martha. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on His face.
John chapter 11, verse 25 to 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, it says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our life's momentary troubles are achieving her important eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. And what is unseen is temporary.
My Lord has turned his soul to wondrous vine, and burned textured hills. Its fragrance reached to his heart and mind. With joy, I be.
see you guys. Sitting down here this Sunday. Thank you for your presence. Martha's death certainly was not expected. For those of us who are older, certainly have experienced some expectations in our life already. So we know that life often brings unexpected things. Our procedure today is kind of under the heading of We gather together to pay our respects, to gather to put our arms around each other. I, for one, am so very thankful that the health protocols allow us to get a good bit closer than 6 foot. Because those godly hugs mean a lot, amen? Godly hugs mean a lot. The flowers are expressions of love and concern and respect. The food that has been shared with the large family is an expression of love. The words that we say. And what can you say? We say, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And we are. But those words are appreciated. And then in the presence, to see this number of people out on a Saturday morning, gathered together. I want to say to you,
today as well. This past Wednesday night, we were having a depot-type service on Wednesday night, and we do have a little bit of a Bible lesson in that. Following the Bible lesson, Will Anderson, who is at a wedding this afternoon,
flip over here in verse 12 of chapter 4.
He says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you. So life was tough, and it's going to get tougher. That's what Peter is saying. So go back to chapter 1, and I'm going to read a couple of verses here down toward the end of the chapter. Verse 22, we're going to start there. Notice what he says. It says, you have in obedience to the truth purified your soul for a sincere love of the brethren. Fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and abiding Word of God. Now, these next verses, he pulls a quotation out of Isaiah. And here's what he says. All flesh is like grass, and all of its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. So we need to have the truth and the comfort of that which will abide forever, and it can be found in this book that we call the Bible. A key book in the lives of Dewey and Martha. A key book that helps you define and direct their lives. And then another passage that's familiar to you. We walk by sight, by faith, and not by sight. It's easy for us to see with these physical eyes all the negative that's around us and what goes on in our world, that we lose sight of the positives. And we need to be a people who have been trained by what God's Word says, to truly walk by faith, in spite of what we see that hurts us in this life. And death is hard to deal with. It hurts. But we know, again, from the book, from the words which abide forever, we know there is this place on heaven. Now we'll go to the empty. Lots of scriptures teach us to seek to live a godly life. The challenge before us is to live a godly life, and may I say, in an ungodly world. Now, I appreciate our world. Don't misunderstand. I love the United States of America. I've been privileged to travel so many different places in this world. There's lots of third world countries. And boy, every time my plane wheels touch the ground in the United States of America, boy, I'm thanking the Lord that I'm back home. But the United States of America has a lot of problems. Ungodly world. And our challenge is a godly life in an ungodly world. So having said that, I want to go to Proverbs 31, the worthy woman passage, and we'll spend just a few minutes there. That as we let this particular Proverbs speak to us, Proverbs 31, and you are familiar with it. speaks of a person not qualified. So it says in verse 10, start with verse 10, an excellent wife who can find, for her work is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Y'all say amen to that, wouldn't you? She did good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also when it is still night and gives food to her household. How many times did Mike and your mom get upset about y'all in your work? When you were crying about something, had a bad dream or something. And she didn't never withhold food from me. She's a good cook. I can vouch for that. It took a bit of effort, but she made chocolate pie. The only thing about it, we had other folks that liked chocolate pie too, they got some of it. But it speaks of her to me. She gives food to her household and portions to her maiden. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distant, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself, her clothing is fine linen and clothing. Her husband is known at gates when he sets them on the elbow of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing. Can you stop right there? That's part of verse 25. I want you to pay particular attention to verse 25. We're going to come back to it, okay? Verse 25. Here's what it says. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, and does not eat the bread of idols. Her children rise up and bless her, her husbands also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hand, and let her word praise her in the gates. And that's another verse here that I want you to pay attention to. Let me read it again, verse 30. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, let's go back to verse 25 first. I have two verses that are my favorites in all these words, and these two verses are all my favorites. In verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing. Well, that speaks to a strong person who is leading the life and has the strength to face life in the midst of an ungodly world and when life is not always easy. And she does it with strength and dignity. And then the author of this part of Proverbs, these are the words of King Lemuel. He says, she smiled at the future. Don't you lie to that, that was 80 years old. And I want to be able to smile at the future. You know, smile at you. I want to know where I am before I need to be. And who I need to be.
By
been diligent. All those kinds of words in this proverb too. But we look especially at these words. We are able to live in such a way that we smile at you. We got it today to see your son. We love you. We love your family, your mom and your dad. And we're going to continue to love you now to pick up. That's what life is about. A byproduct of our destiny, and we can give each one of us an opportunity to check our priorities. What's first in my life? What is absolutely first in my life? And many of you out of the door. I can speak to church members who I do know. Yeah. I was a preacher here twice over the years, and they still have to preach it now. When the preacher called, I get to speak again. I'm happy with that one. I'm happy with that kind of one. But in any given church or any given Sunday, there are people who come to church because they're afraid not to. And it's like getting a ticket punch. Well, I got my ticket punch, I can go all the way down. You know, they come not very often. And they I went to church today. They're happy about that. I came to the game. Maybe they hear something that they need to hear. So there is a whole lot more important than being lackadaisical about our approach to God. So we come to a service today. We take time out of our schedules. And most, all of us are busy. We live a busy lifestyle. We got things that are going on in our life. But we take time out of our schedule and we come to a service like this because we knew our departed loved one, we loved her, and we loved her family. And we want to be here for her. And we want to honor her memory that we've come today. So we've taken time out to push all those other things that are important to us. Pushing out of the way, and this is the number one thing that we've done today, is come to this memorial service. And so I finished with thinking about that with another passage of Scripture. And this is real familiar to you. You've heard it many, many times. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. I like to use a little bit of humor in times like this. But folks, when I read the scripture, first meant first. And Jesus said, seek ye first. Kingdom of God. Before
for anything else.
And my wife is here. And she is so very important. And all these folks that I know, they're important. Jesus is every number one. So we have an opportunity to check our priorities in a service such as this gift us out together. And if I call into that gathering, it's a great to take these eyes and look inward. Am I where I need to be? Thank you again for your presence. We'll conclude our service with a prayer and a song.
Jesus, my heavenly King, love me and go. Praises to Him I sing, onward I go. Oh, sing to Him I cling, blessings to go.
And your father in
such a short period of time is almost unbearable. So we ask that you please bless this family with peace and comfort in the days ahead. And bless us all, dear Lord, as we do our very best to live a life that is pleasing to you, so that we can, for that tomorrow, have the hope of spending eternity together. Dear Heavenly Father, in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, we offer this prayer. Amen.
Amen. Jeff Frank, Mr. Wofford, Les Ferguson, Jim Denny.